Welcome to the Affiliated Monitors Expert Podcast, hosted by Tom Fox on the Compliance Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox back again with Mikhail Gordon for episode 4 of our 5-part exploration on aspects of monitorships. Today, we're going to take up the most interesting topic of cultural differences between international and U.S. domestic monitorships. Mikhail, first of all, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Tom.
So let's just hop into this because this one really fascinates me. How do cultural differences and legal process differences affect the structures of monitorships in for individuals or entities? And I suppose I should have foreshadowed this by pointing out with the growing increase not only in international cooperation and investigations, but international cooperation in enforcement actions. As late as Friday, we saw a enforcement action involving Samsung, where the United States and Brazilian government were jointly sharing the penalty proceeds and monitoring the case going forward. So how do we begin to think through that issue, Mikhail?
Yeah, I think it's helpful. I mean, certainly when structuring a monitorship of an entity or an individual, it definitely, where it's in another country or where we have an entity that's a multinational, how we approach and interact with all the stakeholders and how we actually organize that monitorship is heavily impacted by cultural considerations. I've lived and worked in numerous countries, and I can tell you that beyond those legal processes, there are absolutely important cultural differences that have to be built in. I mean, for instance, I'll take an example here in the U.S. There really isn't the same expectation that a corporation will take care of their employees beyond, you know, what's required under labor and employment law, safety laws. But in many other countries, employees not only develop deep personal relationships with each other, really on a level that you and I might associate with familial relationships. They also expect the company to take care of them. And that includes how they treat even those who underperform or violate rules. So when we're looking at getting feedback from employees for candid dialogue, we have to take that into consideration. You know, here in the U.S., we're rarely surprised when an employment contract is terminated, but in many other countries, it just doesn't happen because that would mean firing essentially a trusted family member, which would undermine the fundamental sort of paternalistic expectation between the company and the employees. So we have to take that into consideration. When it comes to identifying compliance deficiencies or remediating a compliance and ethics program, even a set of behaviors that's led to the inclusion of a monitor, now, there can be significant differences in how we approach personnel in another country. Again, you alluded to this, but many jurisdictions require or allow employees to have independent legal counsel for even the most mundane meetings involving their workplace behavior or efforts. So that's a marked difference from here in the U.S. in the private sector.
So how do monitors from different countries work together? And if I could once again point back to the Samsung case, where both the Brazilian government and the Brazilian prosecutors and the Department of Justice signed in the United States, it was called a deferred prosecution agreement. In Brazil, it's called a leniency agreement. But the company has to report to both sets of prosecutors. How can an independent monitor really help navigate that process?
So we're really, as a monitor, we're there to help the organization remediate and improve. We need that buy-in from all the stakeholders. So when we monitor in other countries, considerations of cultural sensitivities, norms, values, they're all part of our design of the monitoring program. And these cultural values, such as maintaining harmony within the organization, change how we approach interviews, dialogue with employees and managers, building consensus, and so on. I mean, even such seemingly basic monitoring elements such as asking and receiving questions from an organization's employees or getting to a place on how poor decisions can even be challenged within the company is part of that design. You know, many cultures don't embrace challenging management, even when line employees know that what the managers are doing are violating the law. So we take that into consideration. You know, we here in the U.S., we expect employees, you know, to be we can call out and be fairly direct on highlighting where there is a problem identified. Whereas in another culture, we may need to deliver what would be deemed criticism is deemed deeply unpleasant. So we may have to take that to a very private setting where no one else is going to witness it. You know, so improvement suggestions, we won't necessarily make those to a team where blame might be apportioned to one individual without causing some damage. So, you know, we're cognizant of that. You know, many of us have worked under different legal regimes, and we understand, you know, what different processes may entail under those regimes, labor, reporting, whistleblowers, et cetera, and that's part of the design. And then, you know, because many of us have also worked or lived in other countries, it's helpful that we have local understanding, local knowledge regarding what's allowed under local law, which is an important consideration for the monitor and for those working with the monitor. You know, AMI, for instance, we have professionals in other countries. Many of us have lived and worked in these other places, and we have relationships on the ground. So that's a real advantage. You know, when an entity is appointing a monitor who doesn't need a long ramp-up period because they're already familiar with these other cultural expectations and mores.
If I could maybe turn the focus a little bit away from the company to the foreign regulator, how does someone like yourself, a company like Affiliated Monitors, begin to think through dealing with foreign regulators when there is a some type of U.S. connection that brought you into the picture?
Yeah, I think something that's very important to remember, and you know, a lot of times earlier, DOJ actions, I think, in some jurisdictions were seen as the U.S. waving it a big stick and not taking into consideration local impacts. I think that shifted in the more recent years, but we are still cognizant that this is really this is a marriage. Maybe that's the wrong term because we have so many parties involved, but. Understanding expectations, understanding and helping clarify if that regulator in another jurisdiction has not worked with monitors to the level that, say, DOJ has, helping them to understand our neutrality, that we are there to, we report back to both regulatory bodies equally, and we take their responses at equal rate, and then to help them to understand our role, what we do, our independence, and keep the dialogue open. You know, we're not their arm, but we're also we're there to help the entity evolve and get past these mistakes and these. Really improve where they are and give confidence to everyone, not just the regulators.
Mikhaila, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time, but I hope our listeners will join us for part five, our concluding episode tomorrow, where we take a look at the evolution of situations requiring a monitor. I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you to the Compliance and Ethics Blog.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox again. I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of our five-part series exploring aspects of monitorships with Mikhail Gordon, Managing Director at Affiliated Monitors. For more information on Affiliated Monitors, check out their website, www.affiliatedmonitors.com. I hope you'll join us again for another episode where Mikhail and I take a look at another aspect of monitorships, which is something that you should consider in your compliance program going forward. This 5-part series is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network. Thanks again for listening.